Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. When a company is first founded, it's full of life. There is a startup spark that drives improvement and change. It challenges the norm. But when that same company grows into a big business and becomes recognized more as a corporate compared to a startup, this spark is diluted or even extinguished completely, which can be a dangerous position to fall into. So as we are looking to transform, let's consider, how can we ignite, or maybe even reignite, the startup spark in big business? A very warm welcome to the Retail Transformation Show. I'm your host, Oliver Banks. I'm a retail transformation specialist and a consultant working with senior leaders to transform retail businesses and operating models. I'm also the author of the book, Driving Retail Transformation: How to Navigate Disruption and Change. And it was actually flicking through that book that inspired this episode. And this is actually episode 289, number 289. We often talk about the idea of introducing an entrepreneurial spirit into big corporate giants. And it's especially aligned when we are looking to transform. We need that spark of energy that is often associated with the entrepreneur's approach rather than, let's say, a stereotypical corporate approach, right? But I think it's important to recognize that certainly in the retail sector, the majority of brands and companies start life as a startup, a scrappy startup at that. Whether it's Tesco starting life with Jack Cohen struggling on a local market, or maybe we're talking about Walmart and we reflect back on Sam Walton opening his first store, Walton's, 12 years before even the name Walmart came into existence. And perhaps we're more familiar with the likes of Amazon, with Jeff Bezos starting in a garage with a door desk. And as you look around the retail industry, there are so many fantastic startup stories where these big established brands were once not big established brands and were fighting to earn their place, to earn every single sale, and ultimately fighting to become the brand that they are today. But as some companies scale up, it's very easy for that entrepreneurial spirit that absolutely was there on day one, that entrepreneurial spirit can get lost. You know, if we go back to that day one, the founder, the entrepreneur, is full of ideas, full of energy, full of vision. And for various reasons, they're hungry. And this creates interesting behaviors that spark a business into life. But as this business expands, the founder needs implementers to help them expand, to help them turn their ideas into reality. And then as that reality comes true, that team needs to expand and include more operators to keep the proverbial wheels on the bus. And these two new mindsets, the implementation mindset and the operator's mindset, in some ways oppose the entrepreneur's mindset. And that's one of the challenges as you scale up from a startup to a big corporate. And it's one of the ideas that is explored in Bain's concept, the founder's mentality, where we look back at revisiting and re-establishing the core concepts behind the company from those very first founder's steps. But in this episode, episode 289, we're going to explore how you can embrace an entrepreneurial mindset and embody startup behaviors, maybe in line with your founder, or maybe it's a new mindset, a new approach that can still breathe life into your company. The show notes today are at obandco.com patreon.com/289, where you can pick up a summary of the episode, as well as find some additional episodes to check out next. And of course, sign up for the Retail Transformation Briefing, my weekly email newsletter that highlights the key changes and trends from around the world of retail. So head on over to www.obandco.uk/289. That's obandco.uk/289. So before we dive in too deeply, why do we want to visit this topic? Why do we want to create an entrepreneurial mindset or culture within a big corporate giant? Well, there are a number of different reasons why an entrepreneurial spirit can be useful. Maybe we want to add creativity into the mix. We want to flush out some new ideas, inspired by some new thinking, perhaps. Maybe we want to add in a dose of personality, very much like those startups that are full of very much the founder's personality that can get diluted as they grow. Maybe it's about speed and energy and getting things done quickly and reacting to the market. Maybe it's about being adaptable and open to change and flexing the plan as you see fit. And perhaps one of the biggest advantages of blending an entrepreneurial spirit into a big corporate giant is a different approach to problem solving. Startups are surrounded by constraints, and this actually empowers and inspires the entrepreneur. They approach that problem in a whole new way, and that can be hugely valuable for big business too. But often entrepreneurialism is combined and very closely related to innovation. And there have certainly been a number of different retailers that have set up innovation labs, tech labs, R&D labs, whilst others have fired up whole new business units, perhaps for innovation as a whole, or maybe for a very specific development area. And we're seeing that approach happening an awful lot as many companies start to open up their retail media group. And there are examples of retailers that have set up whole separate companies, so they're in full control of a particular innovative idea. But often when we're talking about labs and even setting up new business units or companies, they're often for specific new initiatives or big bets, or they're focused on technology ideas as a whole. But whatever the focus, they very much take the entrepreneurial mindset and put it into a silo, for want of a better word. It's a very specific team or group or department or collection of entrepreneurial mindset individuals, right? So while some retailers are pursuing approaches like this for innovation, we're also seeing large corporates acquiring small innovative startups, sometimes for intellectual property and patents, sometimes for their customer relationships. Maybe it's for a specific part of their operating model or business structure. It could be access to new markets, blocking competitors from taking advantage, but it could also be about hiring the people who are part of that innovative company. They have this startup culture, this entrepreneurial mindset, and there is the hope that by bringing in these startup magicians, for want of a better word, into the fold in a big company, they can be amplified with more resources and more scale. And that might be the case, but often it's a tricky nut to crack because the entrepreneurial spirit for an entire company is made by the culture. And the culture is made up of the everyday behaviors that every single individual partakes in on a daily basis. And so just adopting an entrepreneur or a few entrepreneurs into a big company does not breed that entrepreneurial culture. So in today's episode, we're going to be exploring how we can bring in this entrepreneurial spirit. And I'm going to be suggesting some behaviors. Now, I'll hold my hands up. What I suggest is not the complete answer, but I believe they will help you. And I should also note that they're not replicating the exact behaviors of an entrepreneur, because each individual entrepreneur is different an individual, of course. There is no set pattern. And of course, we must also bring this in line with our own culture, which I can't speak about on a general podcast, of course. It might take a little while to go through all of the different cultures and companies. And of course, you know this best. But if you would like to discuss how you can create an entrepreneurial spirit in your very specific company culture, then reach out. Let's have a conversation. My email is oliver.banks@obandco.uk. And I'll put that email on the show notes page at obandco.uk/289. So let's move into the second part of this episode, where we are going to be looking at establishing or perhaps rediscovering the entrepreneurial spirit, but without losing the benefits of a big company. That is around the consistency and the standards and the efficiencies that we get at scale. And I've got 6 skills and traits to go through today. So let's start with listening. And that's listening to customers, to colleagues, to stakeholders. And whilst we may do this already, I believe there's room to listen harder, to truly hear the feedback that these individuals are giving you. They say feedback is a gift, so let's really make the best use of that gift. Think about how we can understand that feedback. Think about how we can question and explore deeper. Consider what's being said and what's not being said, and how we can tease out some of these hidden messages where often the golden nuggets are lying ready to be found. So really, how do we get at the heart of this feedback? How do we get the DNA, I suppose, of the voice of the customer? And then once we've heard the feedback, we need to be able to internalize it. We need to be able to communicate it and share it. And of course, we need to prioritize it so we understand how to deliver the most value. So my suggested action for you is to ask, listen, and note take. And particularly note taking, because it slows you down. Taking notes will stop you from jumping in, and it's going to encourage you to really listen to what's being said. And then you can process that as you're writing to help you seek the next big question rather than making assumptions about what someone is saying or thinking and blurting out your own thoughts and actually covering up all of that important feedback. So listening is the first important trait of an entrepreneurial mindset. The second trait is around lean thinking. Now, the term lean is often misunderstood. Lean is not necessarily about cost cutting or efficiencies, right? It can be about that. But really, at its heart, lean is about recognizing and delivering meaningful value and avoiding waste, because waste is not valuable. So here we're talking about delivering that value for a very specific customer group with minimal resources and minimal bureaucracy. I mentioned earlier that entrepreneurs are often resource constrained, and this itself unlocks new thinking and new ideas. It's a concept called bootstrapping. And to do this bootstrapping approach, you really need to focus on the customer, understand what they would value. You might need to listen for that one, right? And also understand what would they not value? Where are the assumptions where we think we're adding value, but it's just not required? And by understanding the differences between what they would value and what they're not so bothered by, we can be efficient and effective. We can do things right and do the right things. So the action for lean thinking is always to look and ask what customers value and what they would not. Don't make the assumptions here. It's the essence of lean thinking. So you can distinguish what is value add and what is waste. So our third trait is continuous improvement. And this is about recognizing there is always an opportunity to refine and to tweak. We see the options in any given status quo. And entrepreneurs naturally want to improve. They recognize that not everything is perfect. And this is so closely aligned to the Japanese concept of Kaizen, where we look at what worked well and what could be better. Really with a view of how do we continuously improve? How do we get better next time? And this is again closely aligned to another concept called marginal gains, often associated with sports teams that are looking for that 1% improvement day on day. So my suggested action here to help you improve how you continuously improve is to identify one thing every single day that could be better and make a habit of recording that one thing every single day. Maybe you need to set yourself a calendar invite, maybe you need a separate notebook or whatever, but record one idea, one opportunity. It could be from a particular meeting or emails or communications or interactions with an individual, as well as more tangible ideas such as a particular output or business performance and so on. So following on from our third idea is our next big trait, experimenting, trying things out. And in many ways, experimenting is a function of all of the above, from listening, from lean thinking, from continuous improvement. And really here, we recognize that we don't know the answer. But given that we don't know the answer, we're also willing to make an assumption or an educated guess about what could work. We have an idea that works in theory, and therefore this allows us to create a hypothesis, if you will, and we can experiment out against this hypothesis. We can work out if our theory is right or wrong. And we also recognize that there are important lessons in both the wins and the losses, when we're right and when we're wrong. And then we can adjust accordingly. So my suggested behavior for you is to consider what new experiments could you kick off today? Now this, again, similar to the continuous improvement, could be big business experiments or it could be smaller experiments, helping you to improve how you do. But secondly, when you recognize something that you are going to experiment with, perhaps one of the continuous improvements that you've noted down on the previous daily challenge that I set you, document what your hypothesis is. What is the theory for each one of these experiments? And consider, how are you going to prove or disprove that hypothesis? And that's going to encourage you to learn as you go, whether you're right or you're wrong, whichever way, you know more now. So our fifth trait that I wanted to share today was around collaborating and working in a form of partnership, a form of team to get things done more effectively. Now we can think of this, as a startup does, around internal flexibility, around a willingness to get involved in more than the job title, to expand beyond the sort of the classic responsibility bullet points, so to speak. And in startup world, everyone gets involved. We muck in, right? But when it comes to big corporates, we tend to back off and we think, oh, that's not my job, that's Sally's job or Bob's job, whatever. So how can we be more internally flexible to get the job done, irrespective of whoever's job it is? Now, of course, it's not quite as simple as that in the real world because you'll quickly stamp on people's toes and all sorts. But take that same concept, the internal flexibility concept and the willingness to get involved. But additionally, consider how we can engage and entertain conversations with external parties. Maybe that's suppliers, maybe that's adjacent companies, or maybe even, dun dun dun, your competitors. How can you find opportunity in different cooperations and collaborations? And my suggested behavior for you is to consider the elements that are part of your daily work right now and identify how you could collaborate more effectively. Think, is it about engaging specific people or teams before meetings? Is it about recognizing and representing the views of others? Is it about offering your support, your help, your resources to support other people to get the job done? Almost as a sign of goodwill, but really, it's about collaborating, acting as one, and doing the right thing for customers. So, our final trait is the sense of urgency. We highlighted problem solving earlier on, and the sense of urgency and problem solving goes really hand in hand because we don't want to have lingering problems, right? We need to be able to recognize the different issues in the company, and that's both the issues we know about and those that perhaps we're not looking at. You know, what is the elephant in the room? And having this sense of urgency is also not just about busy work, as we were talking about in the previous episode, actually. It's about prioritizing and focusing on the most meaningful tasks and activities and initiatives, pulling all of these strands together now, to focus on delivering value for your customers. Meaningful value, that is, as well, let's be honest. We must also, to enable this, have openness to collaborate with others, to align and focus on a very small subset of tasks or areas. And this may be an experiment, or this may be enacting new learnings that we know we can improve on. Now, the sense of urgency is, I think, a natural part of the retail industry. It's fantastic because we've got, as a collective industry, such passion about moving quickly and getting things done. And fortunately, on the most part, we don't need to comply with detailed guidelines and restrictions and laws that can slow us down. Now, of course, there are aspects that we do need to comply with: food safety, health and safety, accounting standards, and so on. But in the retail industry, we're not in quite as tight a space as other industries are, such as financial services or healthcare, although I admit they may be part of a retail business. But retail, relatively, is not highly regulated, and therefore this compliance aspect is still important, but it's less of a legal compliance. And this encourages us to embrace the sense of urgency even further. But whilst the sense of urgency can be a natural part of retail, the part that we often miss is not recognizing the elephant in the room that I just mentioned. You know, we're good at obscuring the elephant, covering it up with something else, or we make an excuse, or maybe even we misdirect attention to focus on a different problem that is really important. And that includes misdirecting our own attention, right? So all of these elements are both conscious and subconscious. And so given the fact that we have a good sense of urgency as an industry, my suggested behaviour is to recognise and call out the elephant in your room. And in particular, right now, consider what is the one thing that you could do to recognise your elephant and make it more visible for those around you to see. So those are the six aspects to help you embrace an entrepreneurial mindset and create this startup spark. Now, there are lots of ideas in there about how you could embrace the entrepreneurial mindset. But of course, unfortunately, there is not a single silver bullet solution here. And igniting this spark, this mentality, this approach needs many actions over an extended duration to really establish. We're trying to build this into the culture, remember, and that is not a one-hit wonder. So you're going to need some small actions, and of course you're going to need some bigger plays and initiatives too, which can be excellent signposts of the change. And these are absolutely going to need to recognize and embody the existing culture, and they're going to need a bespoke approach, as I mentioned before. So I've shared lots of different pieces here in this episode today. So maybe you want to go back and listen again. Maybe you want to head over to the show notes for a summary of the conversation and a reminder of those six traits as well. But I would really love it if you could just spend some time right now, whilst it's fresh in your mind, to think, what will unlock the spirit of a startup in your company? How can you add this spark, the energy, the excitement, the life that exists within an innovative small company and bring it into your big business? It's a great question, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one. So head on over to the show notes at obandco.uk/289. That's obandco.uk/289. And you'll find the summary, as well as some additional episodes to listen to next. And having spent the episode together, I do urge you to do something differently. Take action, take on some of these suggested behaviours and put them into place. Or think about additional behaviours that you could take to create that entrepreneurial mindset. And if you'd like more ideas as to how you can build a culture that is more accepting of change, that will support your transformation, then there are more ideas in my book, Driving Retail Transformation: How to Navigate Disruption and Change. Thanks for listening. Please do share this episode with a colleague or perhaps your team and open it up into a live debate. How can your company ignite a startup spark in your big business? I'll leave that one with you, and I look forward to joining you on another episode of the Retail Transformation Show very, very soon. Bye for now.